Heavenly Father, I just pray that you might use me tonight as your tool and just prepare the hearts for each one that's here. And I just thank you for the opportunity. And Father, again, we just thank you that we serve a risen Savior. And we pray that everything that's said and done will be to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. When Harvey had asked me to speak, I didn't have too much of an idea of what I was going to speak on. And then, I forget who was speaking, but they came across a verse. It's in Luke 24, and it's verse 38 through 39. And this is what the verse says. It says, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me, and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when I heard that verse, those two verses, I knew what I wanted to talk about. And as we as believers communicate with God, the normal thing is we pray, we have a quiet time in the morning, we read the scriptures, and God speaks to us, and might come here on Wednesday nights or Sunday night or Sunday morning or mountaintop or wherever it might be, and we get all this information. But a lot of times we think back, and we think back to the disciples. And the disciples, back then, we think, wow, they could touch Jesus. They could touch him. They were right there. And we often think, or I often think, wouldn't that be cool, you know, to actually be there? And because I'm not a speaker, I want to tell you a story tonight. Because I'm pretty good at telling stories. I'm not too good at speaking, but I can tell stories. And what I'd like to talk about is overcoming doubt and questions that we might have, and the way that I've chose to handle those things in my own life. And the story starts out in 2002, probably before that. Barry Atkins started the Friday morning men's prayer group. And they met at 6 o'clock in the morning. And a lot of the guys here will relate to this story. And at the time, I was working for Lucent, and that didn't fit my schedule too well. But eventually, I started coming to the Friday morning prayer meeting. And it was probably, what, 8, 9 of us? Maybe 10 sometimes. But we'd come together, and we'd pray about different things that people had on their heart or whatever might be going on. Now, some of you might remember a guy by the name of J.R. Newmiller. And J.R. was kind of a special cut. He was an interesting guy. And one Friday morning, J.R. came into the men's prayer meeting, and he said, "Guys," he says, "I've never met this guy." He said, "But there's a guy I've heard about him. His name's Ricky Long, and I think we need to be praying for him." I thought, well, it's okay. We can start praying for him. And we did know that Ricky had kind of fallen away. He had attended here at one time, him and his wife, Lori. And I don't know what had happened, but Ricky had kind of fallen away. At the time, I was working for Allen Tate Realtors. And my cube was right outside of an office where Ricky Long's wife, Lori, worked. So probably a few days later, I ran into Lori, and I said, "Oh, Lori," I said, "by the way, we have this Friday morning prayer group at the chapel, and we're praying for Ricky." And she told me, she kind of filled up, and she said, "Oh," she says, "you know, I don't know if it's going to do any good." She says, he's put his Bible up and, you know, he's not going to church anywhere and he just doesn't want to hear anything. And, you know, that's nice, but you know, that's going to be a tough nut to crack. So we kept praying for him, you know, Friday morning. Now, remember, J.R. had never met Ricky Long, just heard about him somehow and came into the group and said, hey, I think we ought to pray for this guy. Anyhow, probably 2 weeks later, Lori comes up to me and she says, hey, something's going on with Ricky. I said, really? She says, yeah. She says, I can't quite put my finger on it, but something's going on with Ricky. I thought, wow. So we kept praying for him. A couple of weeks later, she comes out and she says, you won't believe this. I said, what? She said, Ricky got his Bible down the other day. I said, really? She said, yeah. She says, you know, you guys need to keep praying because he got his Bible down. So that went on, and she kept giving me reports. And Ricky was coming around. He was back under some kind of conviction, and his life was changing. The guy was coming back, and he even mentioned about maybe going back to church or attending somewhere, and Lori couldn't wait to give me news some mornings when I'd come in. And she said, oh, you won't believe what happened. And the whole time, we've been praying for Ricky. And anyhow, that went on for a while, and the more that we prayed, he kept getting closer and closer and closer to coming back with a good relationship with the Lord, because Ricky was a strong believer, and he was a solid guy. And for him to fall away, it was very unusual. But anyhow, we prayed for him, and we kept praying for him Friday after Friday. Now, remember, J.R. Newmiller had never known Ricky Long. And he just showed up one morning. He didn't even come regular all the time. But he said, I heard about this guy, Ricky Long. I think we'll start praying for him. So we did. Well, Barry in 2002, Barry, as most of us know, Barry was killed in a car accident. And it was devastating, just devastating. And the question was, to me, how do you put that together? Here's a guy, Barry Atkins, started a basketball ministry, started a Friday morning Bible prayer group. He witnessing to everybody. He's got five kids under 10, and he's gone. And that was a real struggle. For me, it was like, wow, what's going on here? And they had the funeral, and Lori told me, and I hope I don't get too emotional with this, but Lori told me that was the thing, that was the final nail that brought Ricky back. And I didn't know that at the time. I knew that afterwards. But God was working through that whole situation. And there's another verse I'd like to look at just briefly. And I know the verse, but I better read it so I don't butcher it. It's in Isaiah 55. And it's verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we're down here struggling with all this stuff, okay? And I was really having a hard time dealing with Barry's death. And At the funeral, there were so many people here. I think we had to set up chairs, I think. And There were people who probably hadn't darkened the church doors in who knows how long, if ever. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you exactly what the rundown was, because David Douglas had the program from Barry's funeral. Now, this is from 2002. And this was the program. Prelude by Josh Shelley. Amazing Grace by the Congregation. Prayer by Israel Chavez. Remarks and Song by Mark Beebe. Remarks by Tim Hawks. Marks by Todd Apple. Song by Mark Beebe. Message by Mark Shelley. And that was definitely a gospel message. And everybody who was there at that church that day got that message. It couldn't have been any clearer, couldn't have been any better presented. And I sat there and I thought, wow, could this be why God took Barry? And his ways are not our ways. And I think we really need to be careful how we try to figure things out sometimes on our own, because God's in charge. We're not. Probably 2 weeks later, a guy showed up to Friday morning Bible study. He was a banker. Barry Atkins was a builder. He built high-end houses. And this guy shows up in a suit and tie at 6 o'clock in the morning. Mark, remember? I don't know who else was there. But he comes in and he said, hey, I was Barry's banker. And he said, I just had to come here and see what you guys do at 6 o'clock on Friday morning. And I thought, wow. And Barry had such a strong testimony. And when I went to work, I don't know if it was that day or if it was a couple of days later, I was talking to Laurie. Oh, at the funeral, they had about seven or eight of us who came regular to the Friday morning prayer meeting. And we all had a flower, and we lined up, and once, I don't know if Mark was done, we all stepped up one by one and put our flower on the casket. Ricky Long was one of the guys with the flower. And he went out and put it on the casket. And Lori told me later, she says, that was the thing that really brought Ricky back. And as I think back on that, I touched God through that thing. I mean, I might pray. Someday my prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling. But going through that experience, and there's been a couple other things in my life, when I really get maybe my spiritual life it's down or things are going on and little doubts come in. How many times have we thought to pray for something and thought, well, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, so it's those little things that come up. But when I find myself in those situations, I think back to that whole event and just watching God work through that whole thing, it was just amazing. It was just in incredible. And I was talking to Agnes just the other day, and I was relating to her what I might speak about tonight, because it was a long ride back from Charlotte with all the hooping and hollering going on in the car and celebration and everything. And she related to me, she says, I had the same thing happen. And I believe it was a lady sitting right over there in the red coat. She almost died. And Agnes, I forget the whole story, but God definitely had his hand all over that thing. It couldn't have been anything else. And when we have these doubts and we have these things that we question, you know, I think Isaac mentioned 2 weeks ago or so, we need to look back in our life you know, and see things that have happened. We need to pay attention to when things happen. And it's just amazing. I mean, the sovereignty of God, when you actually watch Him work, it's like, wow. And I could tell you a few more stories, like us coming to North Carolina. I mean, God's footprints were all over that thing. It's just amazing. But this event in my life, and I was telling Barry's mom last night briefly that was a life changing experience for me in my spiritual life. Because a lot of people, I believe, go through their spiritual journey and it's like a peripheral experience. And I feel like I actually touched God. He held His hands out and He said, "Here, you know, touch me." And I'm just really thankful for that. And when I give my testimony, I ran into a guy at a wedding up in Maryland a month ago. And I don't know how we got talking about it, but he told me he was a Christian. And I asked him what he based that on. And he says, "Well," he says, I'm a good guy. He says, "I really try to, you know, help everybody and do what I can." So I took a page from J.B. Nicholson. I said, "Well, how many good things do you think you have to do?" And he's like dancing around. And we talked for about 5 minutes. And then he told me he really hates Bible thumpers. And I told him I didn't care for Bible thumpers either. And we kind of just went our way. But experiences like this really, really help me have confidence, you know, to tell somebody, because I feel like I've touched God. And not just once. I think it's been a couple times. It's not every day. It's not every week. But there's been some things in my life that there's no question in my mind. And when I get down into a trough, I think back to those times. And it just lifts me back up. And anyhow, that's what I wanted to share. And actually, I wasn't sure how long it would take me, so I'm just a couple minutes over. So Mark told me I could take as long as I wanted. But Susan told me I better end about 8:30, so that's what I tried to do. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we do serve a risen Savior. We thank You that You're sovereign in this world, that you're orchestrating all these things. And Father, we just pray that when we have doubts and worries and things, that we'll be reminded that You're behind the scenes. You're working everything out. And Father, might You give us comfort from that, and just be with us through those times. Father, again, we thank You, like I prayed earlier, for the lives that we've seen in this chapel, and the history and the people that have gone through it and the lessons that have been learned. And Father, we've been able to see You. We've been able to touch You through some of these things that have happened, and we just thank You for that. And Father, now as we go our way, might You be with each one, give us safety, and we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.